All right, morning, boys. You guys got any prayer requests to start out with today?
Brother David on his trail.
Yep. Okay, good. Anything else? All right, let's bow your heads and we'll pray. Lord, Father, thank you for this day that you give us, an opportunity to meet here together and be together to hear your word. Just pray for these young people that you'd lead, guide, and direct them, Lord, and help them grow up and be faithful servants of Christ. Thank you for the rain that you sent to us. Thank you for the warmth and the cold. These things we ask in your name. Amen. All right, I think we're in chapter 30. Verse 1 there, my son, fear my words, and when you receive them, repent. The man says these things to those who believe in God, then I cease speaking. For I am the most lacking of all men in discernment, and the discernment of men is not in me. God gives me wisdom, and I know holy things. Who ascends into heaven and descends? Who gathers the winds in his bosom, who wraps up the water in a garment, who rules over the ends of the earth. What is his name, and what is the name of his children, that you might acknowledge it? All the words of God are tried in fire, and he defends those who fear him. Do not add to his words, that he might not reprove you, and you become a liar. Two things I ask from you. Do not take away grace from me before I die. Make a vain word and a lie be far from me. But give me neither riches nor poverty, and appoint what is necessary and sufficient for me. Lest being full I become a liar and say, who sees me? Or being poor I steal and swear by the name of God. Do not deliver a servant into the hand of the master. Lest he curse you, and you be destroyed. An evil offspring curses his father, and does not bless his mother. An evil offspring judges himself righteous, but he is not washed from his uncleanness. An evil offspring has haughty eyes, and exalts himself with his eyelids. An evil offspring has teeth like swords, and molars like knives, so as to destroy, and to devour the poor from the earth and their needy from among them. The leech had three dearly loved daughters, and these three did not satisfy her, and the fourth did not satisfy her, for her to say, it is enough. Hades and the love of a woman, and Tartarus and the earth not satisfied with water, and water and fire will not say, it is enough. The eye that mocks his father and dishonors the old age of his mother, let the ravens of the valleys pick it out, and the young eagles devour it. Now there are three things I cannot understand, and a fourth I do not know. The track of a flying eagle, and the ways of a serpent upon a rock, the paths of a ship passing through the sea, and the ways of a man in his youth. Such is the way of adulterous woman, who, when she commits adultery, washes herself and says she did nothing wrong. The earth is shaken by three things and is unbearable and is unable to bear forth. If a servant reigns, or a man without discernment is satiated with food, or if a maidservant casts out her own mistress, or a hateful woman marries a good man. Now there are four very small things upon earth, but these are wiser than the wise. The ants, which are not strong, yet they prepare provisions in the summer. The rabbits, which are not a strong tribe, yet they make their own homes in the rocks. The locust, which is without a king, yet he marches out as one, commanded in an orderly manner. And the spotted lizard, which supports himself with his hands and is easily caught. yet he dwells in the fortress of a king. There are three things which walk easily, and the fourth that strides well. The cub of a lion stronger than animals, and does not turn away neither fears nor any animal. A cock walking about boldly among the hens, and a he-goat leading a flock, and a king speaking publicly to the people. If you abandon yourself to merriment and stretch forth your hand with contention, you will be dishonored. Churn milk and it will become butter, and if you squeeze someone's nose, blood will come out. And if you draw out words, condemnations and contentions will emerge. All right, so a lot of different things and topics that they wanted to put there for us to read and bring to attention. And just starting out with fearing God and repent when you learn something new and He shows you something. All the way to finishing up here at the end with just the little lessons that you can learn just simply by observing animals out in their nature, the things that they do, that God puts that instinct in them for preparation and prepare. And I think that you can see that and apply some of that stuff to your life too. And it just, part of that makes me think about just taking time and not being so busy, just to observe and learn and apply things to your lives. So a lot of good teachings there in that chapter. For your guys' lessons and the older boys' lessons too, I want you guys to share something that was taught to you by your father or your mother that you believe was wise and is helping you out throughout your walk in life.
Last week we were supposed to memorize Psalm 29, verse 4. A righteous king will establish a city, but an unlawful man raises it to the ground.
A righteous king will establish a city, but a lawful man raises it to the ground.
Proverbs 29, verse 4. A righteous king will establish a country, but a lawless man will raise it to the ground.
Proverbs 29:4. A righteous man will establish a country, but a lawless man will raise it to the ground.
Proverbs 29, verse 4. A righteous king will establish a country, but a lawless man will raise it to the ground. And I thought about King David and Absalom. King David was a good king, and it was a good nation, and they were following the Lord. And then his son Absalom came along and rebelled, and some of the people went with him, and there ended up being a war because the lawless man just raised it to the ground.
I thought of Judah Maccabees. He was getting run out of his city because he was wanting to follow the Lord and pray in the temple when the Romans were taking over. But he got the ones that wanted to follow the Lord, got them all together and went and took the city back and rewashed the temple and fixed the city back up.
A righteous king establishes a country, but a lawless man raises it to the ground. I was thinking about King Henry VIII. He was of England. He was a really wicked king in the 1500s, and he wanted to have an heir, but he didn't have any with his first wife. So he divorced his wife and married like six times, and made himself the head of the Pope, and took money from all the poor people, and he ate so much that he died of it.
Proverbs 29, verse 4, a righteous king will establish a country, but a lawless man raises it to the ground. And I thought about Enoch. He was a righteous man, and his soul learned from the Lord. And he went away from the people for a long time and learned from the Lord. And then the Lord said to go to the people and teach them And then when he... And then he... He taught the people, and in the end, right before he left, a lot of the world gathered to hear him.
A righteous king will establish a country, but a lawless man raises it to the ground. And thought about the founding fathers of this country, how they were just trying to start out a country, and so they made these rules and principles that all were based on good things and righteous things, and the country grew really fast.
A righteous king will establish a country, but a foolish man raises it to the ground. And King Louis and Marie Antoinette of France were rich, and they were really foolish and spent a lot of money on clothes and vanities for themselves, and then that made the poor people poor. And so then pretty soon the poor people didn't have bread, so they got told that they didn't have bread. And so then Marie Antoinette said, well, let them eat cake. Well, then the poor people got angry and started a revolution and destroyed them.
A righteous king establishes a country, but a lawless man raises it to the ground. Proverbs 29, verse 4. I thought of the French Revolution was based on getting revenge and people not forgiving and blaming their problems on the government. So they eventually revolted and killed all the rich people and royal people, and then the country was in disorder for years after that until Napoleon came in and straightened things out.
Proverbs 29:4. A righteous king will establish a country, but a lawless man raises it to the ground. We have a story, of a king and his son. And the son was pretty disobedient and didn't like to please himself and didn't care and just wanted to do what he wanted to do. And his father sent him away to a foreign country, and so he lived a poor person because nobody knew him, and he was a poor person. And lived with an old lady and helped her. And later, and years later, he came back to his father and became a king.
A righteous king will establish a country, but a lawless man will raise it to the ground. It's thinking out kind of how the French Revolution, they just didn't have, or they just wanted more. And they just blamed everything on the government and all their troubles, and they just wanted revenge.
I was reading, I opened up the concordance, and I decided to study the kings kind of in order through the Bible. And I just kind of looked at each one and read the stories and reflected on what I was reading. And the one that stood out to me the most was about, I don't remember the king's name, but Balak was the son. And the story about Balaam and the donkey and all that. And Balaam was a prophet. And I don't know if he was an Israelite. It kind of wasn't clear on that, I don't think. But he was a prophet that Balak, the son's king, esteemed him as being a godly man. And the king, this king of this country, they wanted to curse the Israelites because they annoyed him, and the Israelites were multiplying and increasing in strength and might. And so this king and his son, they just desperately wanted to curse Israel. But they went to this prophet, Balak, because they knew that whoever he cursed was cursed, surely, because he was a prophet of God. And so they just tried to get him to curse Israel, but Balaam would not curse Israel, because he said, "I can't curse. I cannot curse a nation that God hasn't cursed." You know, and so he stood by that. But I just thought it was interesting that, for some reason, this king of this country wanted to curse Israel. Like, he just wanted them out of his hair. They were a nuisance, and
But for some reason, this king, he wanted the glory. He didn't want to let Israel be glorious as it was. But then I kept reading, and I got later on up into Numbers and stuff, and the Lord was talking to Israel and saying putting conditions on him, saying if you don't continue to do my commandments and live according to my law, then I'm gonna basically let these kings be your rulers, and you're gonna be servants to them. And I thought it was interesting. In all Israel's glory, God would have allowed them to be subservient to these other kings if they didn't do his will. And so how that relates to the lesson, I thought, a lot of these kings, well, and this king that wanted to curse Israel, Israel ended up decimating them and taking over later on, which was prophesied by Balak. He prophesied that the Lord would allow Israel to defeat them later on, in which they did. They defeated this king that wanted to curse them. So really, they were bringing it upon themselves. They didn't raise their country to the ground. They were lawless and wicked, but the Lord destroyed them, and he allowed Israel to defeat them. And the same thing with Israel. If they became lawless, God would allow the other countries to raise them to the ground and dominate them. And so there's this principle that if we don't trust the Lord, then we're not going to make it. He's our only hope. And I don't know, it's just some of the stories in the Old Testament, I personally don't like them very much because they're so dramatic. I mean, God's just destroying these countries and women and children and everything, just wiping them out. But it just, I don't know. But you also see these proud kings and their wickedness, and that's real dramatic too, and how God deals with that. And just these proud nations that are just lawless and godless. And so there's a blessing in there, even though the stories, they seem so harsh, and especially modern people nowadays on the streets that mock the Bible and say that, well, look what God did. He killed all these people, and it was a constant, you know, it was just a constant line of disaster. But also, to rebuke that thought, look at these kings, look how stubborn and rebellious they were, and unwilling to just let Israel be a good nation like they were. And that's how God was dealing with them. Anyway, I thought that was interesting.